I'd like you to turn with me, please, for a very short reading, probably unusually short, but after we've read, we'd like you to keep your Bibles open because there are a number of other passages that we would like to read together. But it's the book of Zephaniah, please. Old Testament prophet Zephaniah, just in before the book of Haggai, and at chapter 3. So Zephaniah and chapter 3, and we're going to read at verse number 5, page 1140 in my Bible. It'd be different in yours, right? So Zephaniah chapter 3, Zephaniah verse 5. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. And verse number 5 of Zephaniah contains three little words that I would like to have as our meditation for this morning. And it's those three words: he faileth not. He faileth not. I think we're probably all familiar with the truth about God whenever we think of God is love. We would all be able, I'm sure, to, if we were to ask to give different characteristics or attributes of God, we could say God is holy. We might think of God as light. And of course, in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus said God is spirit. But what about this truth this morning? What does this truth teach us about God? He faileth not. This reveals to us something about God and what he is like. And I would like us this morning, as the Lord's children, to think about this great truth. He faileth not. This is a sort of text that you would get as a Sunday school prize, and as children, and a little picture with a text: he faileth not. Newlyweds often would take this as a picture text, and they would hang it on a wall at home along a hallway, or maybe a bedroom or a living room. And you asked yourself the question, why? What's so special, or what's so good about this aspect of the character of God? Why bring this truth to our attention? He faileth not. This truth about God, he faileth not, is expressed in Scripture both in a negative way, as we have in this text, he faileth not. But we also find it in a positive way as we look at through the Scriptures as well. And the truth that God never fails is one side of a coin. The other side of the coin, we can say, is this: God is faithful. That's the other side of the same coin. One side says, he never fails. The other side of the coin says, God is faithful. That's a wonderful truth. That's something to rejoice in this morning, child of God. There are numerous texts or verses, particularly in the New Testament, that tell us that God is faithful. All of us would know that truth, but I wonder how many of those verses immediately spring to your mind. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this in verse 9: God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. And if someone asked you this morning, as you go out of church and walk down the street, tell me about the God of the Bible. Well, amongst all the truths that you could tell about God, very simply, here's one: God is faithful. He never fails. That's a wonderful thing. He's faithful according to 1 Corinthians 10, where the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with every trial or temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He's faithful in trials. He's faithful in temptation. Whenever the writer to the Hebrews begins to write that wonderful book, he talks of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he turns our eyes into the heavens, and he speaks of Christ, and he says, "Wherefore, in all things it behoved him," that is, it behoved the Lord Jesus, "to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor those who are tempted." He is faithful in intercession. And which of us have not turned to that verse many times in life? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a wonderful, faithful God. The word faithful, according to Strong's Greek dictionary, means trustworthy. It means to be true. It means to be sure. It means to be dependable. Isn't that a wonderful thing this morning when all around us, friends fail us? People who we thought we could depend on let us down. The Bible says that God is true. He's dependable. He is sure. He is a faithful God. A faithful God. He never fails. What wonderful words. "Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. In worship and wonder, I behold your face," singing, "What a faithful God have I. What a faithful God have I. What a faithful God. What a faithful God have I. Faithful in every way. Lord of mercy, you have heard my cry. Through the storm, you're the beacon, you're my song in the night. In the shelter of your wings, hear my heart's reply, singing, what a faithful God have I. What a faithful God have I." You see, brothers and sisters, as we think about this morning, this isn't a truth just that the hymn writer sings about. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, it thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. He never fails. He is a faithful God." That should encourage us this morning, young and old. Whenever life brings its disappointments, and whenever things don't work out the way we've planned, and whenever everything around us seems to be changing, we have a God who never fails. A God who never fails. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." You ever think about that? Confidence, or putting your trust in an unfaithful man in time of trouble, is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Which of us have never had a broken tooth? Whenever you've got a broken tooth, that's the tooth that you stay away from. That's the tooth that your tongue rubs over and feels the sharp edge. And whenever you find someone who's unfaithful, someone who lets you down, it's just like a broken tooth. Or it's like a foot out of joint. It's like having a sprained ankle. Have you ever tried walking with a sprained ankle? You hobble along. You go along on one foot. You let the other one just lightly touch the ground because, you see, you can't depend on a sprained ankle. You can't depend on a foot that's out of joint. You can't depend on a broken tooth. Well, that's just what it is to be an unfaithful person, but that's not what God is like. God is faithful. God is faithful. He never fails. That's the God of the Bible. That's our God. That's our Lord Jesus who sits and is a faithful and merciful high priest. That's the one who's faithful when we fall. That's the one who's faithful when life gets difficult. That's the one who's always there, always dependable, the one who never fails. What does it mean to fail? Well, very simply, look around you in the world today. For the athlete or those involved in sport, to fail is to fall short. In business, what is it to fail? Well, if you work on an assembly line and you're producing things, they get to the end of the assembly line and they're not up to standard. They're found lacking. They're discarded because they have failed the test. If you're working in business or in some sort of office and you come to your annual appraisal, and that you don't meet the standards required, you're failed. And what student doesn't know what it is to underachieve, to fail? But you know, brothers and sisters, this morning, here's a verse in the Bible, and it says of God, it says of our Lord, He never fails. He never fails. All around us, people fail. News headlines about a death of a child and they want someone to blame because someone didn't do their job properly. Someone who's a serial killer. Why did the police not catch him earlier? Someone who's a serial abuser. Why did they not catch him on earlier? They failed. Endemic failure in every part of society. Whenever bombs get through airport security and planes blow up, who failed? Who let the bomb in? How did they not find it? Whenever the financial crash, why did the bankers get off with it for so long? Why have people's businesses gone under? The banks failed. All around us, people are failing. Our politicians, policies, programs, plans for government, heads roll because governments get it wrong and they fail. You know, whenever Moses came to the end of life and they had led the children of Israel for 40 years, he had one thing to say to the children of Israel who said, Moses, how can we ever go on whenever you're dead? This is what Moses said, Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What a word of encouragement to people who were about to lose their leader. The man who had brought them through the Red Sea and out of Egypt. The man who had taken them through the wilderness for 40 years. He says, don't look at me. Your God, he will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He'll not be like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. He's able to look after you all the years that lie before you. And then just a few chapters later in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua says, how can I ever fill the shoes of the man who led like Moses? And God comes alongside to Joshua and he says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. There shall not be a man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. What a truth to go out of church with this morning. He never faileth. Wonderful. He never faileth. Grasp it. Hold on to it. He never fails. God's promises never fail. God's presence never fails. God's power never fails. His protection never fails. He is the Lord who says, He faileth not. Why is it at times that this truth becomes clouded? Why is it that times we begin to question it? Why is it we begin to doubt it? Why do we begin to think that it's not true? Brothers and sisters, this morning I want to help you to polish up this truth. Because like the brass knocker on your door, sometimes it becomes dull. And you need to shine the truth up again. You need to, it loses its glow and it's become dull in your life. And maybe this morning you're thinking, God has let me down. God has failed. Let me tell you, He faileth not. God is faithful. Now, this is where I would like you to turn with me just to illustrate the truth. And here's our first heading. Though friends fail, He faileth not. Grasp that. Though friends fail, He faileth not. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. The book of 2 Timothy in chapter 4. And those of you who are familiar with this book will know that Paul is coming to the end of life. He's in a prison cell and he's facing imminent execution. And Paul, as he faces imminent execution in a Roman dungeon, he utters these words. He says in verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me." 2 Timothy 4:10. "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it would not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." All men forsook me. No man stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Can you put yourself in Paul's shoes? All the sacrifices he had made, all the hardships that he had gone through, all the dangers that he had faced, all the efforts in sharing the gospel and leading the church, all the love, all the prayers, all the zeal, the floggings that he had, and he comes to the end of life and he says, "No man stood with me, they all forsook me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that through me the preaching might be fully known." He grasped the truth. He faileth not. Though your friends fail, the Lord faileth not. And there might be someone in our congregation, as there is in every congregation, and a brother or a sister or a Christian friend has let you down. They have become a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. But brother and sister this morning, this truth has not changed. Though friends fail, he faileth not. And Paul learnt it even at the last of life, even in a dungeon cell, he says, He never fails. He never fails. Though all men forsake me, the Lord stood with me. But of course, it wasn't just Paul learned that lesson. Have a look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in the Old Testament in chapter 30. And we have here an incident in the life of David. He hasn't yet become king, but here he is in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. David and his men, verse 3, came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Can you imagine it? David and all his soldiers weeping. They've come back, and their wives and their children, everything's gone. And then it says, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed because the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him, pursue, for thou shalt without fail overtake them and without fail recover all. And as you read the rest of the story, how the Lord restored to David everything that had been taken by the Amalekites, and the Lord was with him. But did you see it? His friends spoke of stoning him. The men who were shoulder to shoulder in his army, they failed him, they blamed him, they pointed the finger. And David says, though friends fail, he faileth not. Brother and sister, grasp it. Know it. He never fails. But not only do we know, though friends fail, he faileth not. We know this, though finances fail, he faileth not. Though finances fail, he faileth not. Turn over to 2 Kings in chapter 4. 2 Kings in chapter 4. Story of a widow woman. And chapter 4 of 2 Kings. It says this, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor, the debt collector, is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid has not anything in the house except a pot of oil. Then Elisha said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy two sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest. Though my finances fail, he faileth not. Didn't the Lord Jesus tell us in the New Testament, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit unto his stature? And why worry for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the fire, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Brothers and sisters, though finances fail, he faileth not. Though friends fail, he faileth not. Though finances fail, he faileth not. Though your family fails, he faileth not. Though your family fails, he faileth not. You'll know the story well, Genesis chapter 37. Joseph was the 11th son of his father Jacob. His other brothers were jealous of him. Jacob had given to Joseph a lovely coat. And then Joseph dreamed dreams, and he dreamed of how the sheaves bowed down to him, and the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. And Joseph told his dream to his brothers, and his brothers envied him. They hated him. They were jealous of him. They had spiteful intentions towards him. And Joseph's brothers one day jumped him. They took him and they threw him into a pit. They stripped him of his coat and they threw him in a pit. And then they sold him into Egypt. And when he was in Egypt, he was a servant in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife told lies about him. And Joseph was thrown in prison. And from the age of 17 through to 30, he was in a prison. Then he's brought out in 7 years of plenty. And then into the years of famine, and his brothers come down into Egypt looking for corn. And Joseph's able to supply all that they need. And then in the process of time, Jacob comes. And then Jacob dies, and his brothers say, Joseph's going to get us back now for all that we did to him. And Joseph in chapter 50, you'll read the story and know it well. Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Because God never fails. Though your family fails, he never fails. Has someone in your family failed you, let you down, put the knife in your back as it were? Well, know this, though family fails, he faileth not. What about Job? Job was the man who was most upright in all the men of the east. And Satan comes in and he says to God, all that a man gives has, he will give for his life. He says, strike his health and he'll curse you to your face. And after God had allowed Satan to do what he did to Job, Job's wife comes and she says, curse God and die. Imagine your wife who loved you, who professed to love you and to love you for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And in your darkest hour, she says, curse God and die. Job found, though my family fails, he faileth not. And who knows what's going on in families? But know this, he never fails. But also know this, it's not just though friends fail and though finances fail and though family fails, but though your frame fails, your health, though your frame fails, he faileth not. Read this with me, please. The Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Which of us do not feel the aches and pains of growing older? Our health declines. People are struck down with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, hip joints, knee joints. People are afflicted with cancer. And our frames begin to fail. Our frames begin to fall apart. We begin to groan. Well, in Psalm 102 it says this, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face for me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. Now look at this. For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread, off as food. By reason of the voice of my groanings, my bones cleave to my skin, losing weight. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl in the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Isolation. My enemies reproach me all the day, and those who are mad against me are sworn against me. I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declines, and I am withered like grass. But here it is, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Look at verse 25. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Though my friends fail, though my frame fails, he faileth not. Finally, though my faith fails, he faileth not. Though my faith fails, he faileth not. Very briefly, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Do you ever get to a point, child of God, where you feel even your faith fails and you wonder, can you keep on going? Though your faith fails, there's two lovely incidences in the New Testament where the disciples of the Lord, their faith failed, and they found that the Lord never failed. Look at verse 26 of John 20. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within. We'll read verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. 8 days after, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Though your faith fails, he faileth not. Jesus said unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Though your faith fails, he faileth not. And then finally, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. The disciples are in the boat with the Lord. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee and a storm arises. Verse 36. And when they had sent the multitude away, Mark 4 and 36, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And Jesus was in the hinder, the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? You see, though their faith failed, he never failed. And who knows what storm anyone is going through, has gone through, or will go through. Storms that even seem bigger than your faith, and storms that you say, I cannot see a way out or a way through. Well, know this, though your faith fails, he faileth not. He is a faithful God, and he has said, I will never fail thee. I will never forsake thee. I will never leave thee. I will never let you down. He is a faithful God. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts this morning.